Good morning. Great to have everybody here today on this unseasonably warm day. Thankful for God's goodness. Today we're going to be looking at the seventh of the nine characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. And it is the one single word to be more topical than a chapter of Scripture as we're going through the fruit of the Spirit, and is on faithfulness. Now, I'm going to say right up front that this has been a good week for me, but it's also been a difficult week. My spirit has been divided. I've been studying about the faithfulness of God and then this characteristic that should flow out of our lives. And so I've had a week to meditate about how unfaithful I can be even as a pastor, and the gap between God's faithfulness and mine. And it can be overwhelming. Unless you are able then to factor in the cross of Christ and the forgiveness of Christ and just the beauty of Christ. So I want to give you a definition for faithful as it's found in Galatians chapter 5. Again, this is the seventh attribute of the nine attributes, qualities, characteristics, character qualities, and it's the word faithful or faithfulness. Now, I stole this particular definition from Jerry Bridges, and he's written a number of books about godliness, and he would be a trusted author. And I'll leave this up for a while. You're certainly, if you're taking notes, you can take a picture of it or whatever, write it later. But one who is dependable, trustworthy, loyal, who can be depended upon in all of his or her relationships. One who is absolutely honest and ethical in all their dealings. So you see the words dependable and trustworthy and loyal and honest and ethical. It's been a challenge just to think this week, and I know I'm ahead because I've had the week to meditate and study on this quality that certainly is a quality of God the Father and Christ Himself. By the way, when I speak of faithfulness, you saw the pictures of the new members that were here, and the last one was Elizabeth Thornton and her two, she just had twins born. She had twins born. Okay, listen to this, guys. We're kind of wimps compared to the women of Lakeside. She had twins 10 days ago. She was in the first service this morning. Like, we would still be nursing it at home. Like, we would be, I don't even want to leave the hospital at 10 days, you know, kind of push the button, get the nurse to come. Maybe I should just have her picture up here for faithfulness and, like, let's just go home. Let's just call it a deal. So when I thought of faithfulness this week, these are the kind of words that would capture the idea of this seventh quality of the fruit of the Spirit: predictability, consistency, sincerity, honesty, reliability. I obviously Googled all the words that end with Y. Dependability. Loyalty, trustworthy, integrity. Now, last on the list that should absolutely circle the entire list is the word integrity. The actual word used in Scripture means the wholeness of a person. And for myself, as I meditated on it this week, and I thought, am I a man of integrity? Or would you be a woman of integrity, a young person, an old person, a student, a widow, a grandparent? And when I think of integrity, which encompasses all of these other words and many others that you could put here, Here's some phrases I wrote down that have to do with integrity, this wholeness of person. We're just kind of getting our mind around this quality, and we'll look at what it is in Scripture. So if you're a person of integrity, and I thought about this for my own life, here's some things that would be true of you, just let them marinate in your own mind so that you can enter in and say, okay, I've got some room for improvement here. I think I'll listen to what Dave has to say today, and maybe the word can help me. So when integrity, what you say and what you do match. You would be the same person inside and outside. If you're a man or woman of integrity, you would be the same person in private that you are in public. You would be the same person. Your heart and your hands would match. What you do with your life and what inspires you in your heart. For a believer, what you believe and how you behave would sync up. What you promise and what you perform would match. Now, you're going to know this picture, I think. What's this picture of? Take a guess. Old Faithful. Raise your hand high if you've seen Old Faithful. Okay, if you haven't, come on, get going. It's a great place to go. I've been there a number of times, and let me just give you a little background of Old Faithful. September 18th, 1870, an expedition of 20 civilians and military personnel were going west, and they discovered 15 geysers all in this area around this lake that they called Yellowstone Lake. And Yellowstone National Park, from my research, is the first national park, and these guys came upon this. And they noticed of the 15 geysers, this one that went off what seemed like clockwork at the time. In 1938, they actually did a study to find out how faithful is Old Faithful. And here's what they learned. They learned that the interval between eruptions varied slightly, but it was very predictable. And the eruptions that varied slightly and the intervals were determined by the length of the previous eruption. So follow me. So if the previous eruption is 1.5 minutes, 6,000 gallons of water, 145 feet in the air, then the next eruption would be in 50 minutes. You can plan your lunch around it today. If the previous eruption went 3.5 minutes where it's shooting out water, then the next eruption will be 76 minutes. Set your watch by it. If the previous eruption lasted 4.5 minutes, then it was 89 minutes to the next eruption. And then the longest that it's ever erupted, Old Faithful, is just a little over 5 minutes. And the longest in between is somewhere in the 96 or 97 minutes. So Old Faithful then, and I want you to kind of get this image, is a fitting name based on the absolute predictability of how it's acted over a long period of time, probably hundreds, thousands of years. Old Faithful is a fitting name. Now, isn't it true that faithfulness is a character trait we long for in other people? Like we value faithfulness in other people. We recognize the beauty of faithfulness in other people. If I have somebody go up and, you know, is my roof have a leak? I want somebody I can trust up there so I don't have to put on a new roof if I don't want to. If I need to send my vehicle to a mechanic, I want to have some measure of trust that this person is going to not just hang parts on there, charge me hours, do something that doesn't need to be done. So we value faithfulness. If you think about it, for me this is true, few things are more precious than a faithful friend. I mean, just think about it. Somebody has said they multiply your joy and they divide up your sorrow. A friend is somebody that comes in when everybody else is going out. Few things more precious than a faithful friend. And yet Scripture tells us something very intriguing. Proverbs 20 and verse 6, many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find? So many claim and few possess faithfulness. One author wrote that faithfulness is like gold. Being rare increases its value. I would say amen to that. So we admire faithfulness. But here's what I want you to see this morning. If you're a follower of God, God requires faithfulness. We admire it. God requires it. Look at 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2. And again, this is topical, so there'll be a number of scriptures that I refer to that I have up on the screen. We will do a little bit of a paper chase. It's all going to be hopefully from scripture. It's a short verse. Say it with me if you would. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. You notice I highlighted, bold, put a different color on, found faithful. This is what's required. If you're a follower of Christ, if you claim Christ, if you know Christ, you've had your sins forgiven, this is what is required to be found in you. And I emphasize this just for a moment because the word found is just a very simple word. It means that somebody does an inquiry, an investigation, an examination, an observation of your life, and God says that if that were done in your life, would you be found faithful? If I said to everyone, okay, turn in your phones to me, give me open access to everything, give me your checkbooks, let me talk to the 10 closest people to you. If I were to do an investigation of you, or probably a better illustration, if you were to investigate, examine, observe me, would you be found faithful? Would the 10 closest people to you, when describing you, lead with the word faithful? Now, I said in the first service that I still have a lot of life to live. I've lived a little bit of life. I got hopefully a lot of life to live. The Lord's going to come back. I'm ready to soar. I'm not ready to land the plane. But I want you to hold me accountable. Should I go while you're still alive and the Lord hasn't come back yet? I would like my funeral service to be right here, okay? So, you know, if somebody wants to ship off and do a funeral somewhere else, you said, no, Dave said he wants it right here. And so I'm envisioning my Dave laying right here. It's kind of morbid for you, but you follow along. And I want people to pass by, and I don't want you to, if this actually happens, don't lie to me, pretend that I can hear you. Hey, the one word that I would love to hear is faithful. Yes. That guy was faithful. Yes. And I've just been meditating on this week, and it can be very humbling to think about faithfulness. More importantly than what you think about me or I think about you, when it comes to this quality, this characteristic of God and Christ, is what does God think? Here's an idea of God's thoughts about this for us this morning. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless towards him. So he's... If God is honest and faithful, and I'm making the case that he is, and he's God, so he's going to use a human term here. He's going to tell us, like, I want you to envision me having eyes, and I want you to envision me going all over the earth, and I'm going to go all over the earth, and I'm going to look for a faithful person. And that person I'm going to give my heart to, and I'm going to be strong on their behalf. And so this is a quality that is utmost importance if you're a follower of Christ to God. Well, let's just take a note then. I want you to note four things. Very similar outline to last week. Obviously, it's faithfulness. It's not kindness and goodness that we looked at last week. It'll be just a little bit different, but very similar. And so I want you to notice four things about faithfulness, and then I'll get very practical at the end of this message. So faithfulness, number one, is rooted in the heart of God's character. I used that phrase last week for kindness and goodness. It would be sacrilegious for me to call God old faithful, amen? Like, we're not going to go around and say, yeah, I know that old faithful guy. But it wouldn't be sacrilegious to call him always faithful, would it? So we're not going to say old faithful when it comes to God. We're going to say always faithful. Read your Bible in any regular fashion, and you will constantly note God's faithfulness being highlighted from Genesis to Revelation. If I said, okay, this year we're going to read the Bible, and you take out your favorite color of marker, and whenever you read a verse, a scripture, a word, or something describing God that has anything to do with faithfulness, you're not going to go by a page that you don't mark something there. Just like you're going to color code God's faithfulness right there. It's a great way to study the Bible. So let me just give you just a snippet of the hundreds of passages of scripture that talk about God's faithfulness. We'll just start with God himself. He said, like, when you think about me, here's what I want you to think about me, because it's absolutely true. The Lord passed before Moses, proclaimed the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Faithfulness. So when I give a list of predictability, consistency, sincerity, honesty, reliability, dependability, loyalty, trustworthy, integrity, that is God himself. Are we thankful for that? Like I am. We had a guy in our first service introduced himself to me. He was just passing through town. He's pastored a church, kind of started a church in Las Vegas 40 years ago. And I said, well, I started a church in Polk City, a little different culture than where you started your church. And he said, Dave, the one thing we have in common is God's faithfulness. I said, amen. Amen. It's the attribute by which God chooses to describe himself. A couple more. The rock. God, his work is perfect. All his ways are just. He's a God of faithfulness without iniquity, just and upright in all he does. That's Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4. Numbers 23 and verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Can I get an amen there? Has he said, and will he not do it? Has he spoken, and he hasn't fulfilled it in your life? God's never going to ask something from us that he's not himself. He cannot lie, 1 John 4. He always does what he says. His word always performs. If you read Isaiah 55, it talks about how there's this great distance between God and man. And then in verse like Isaiah 55 and verse 10 and 11, he said, like the rain and the snow, and it melts and it comes down. So does my word. It goes forth. It always, verse 11, accomplishes that for which it's sent. Always. He's unchanging, Hebrews 13, 8. Philippians 2, he always follows through. No wonder the psalmist in 89 and verse 5 says we should always praise him. Whenever the assembly gets together, we should praise him for his faithfulness. Let's praise him for his faithfulness. So it's rooted in the heart of God's character. It shouldn't surprise us a couple of weeks into this series that this idea of faithfulness is displayed in the person of God's Son. Now, we could spend months upon months going through the Gospels and declaring the faithfulness of Christ, his sincerity, his honesty, his reliability, dependability, loyalty, trustworthiness, and integrity. Like we could just spend our time in the Gospels and just highlighting this beautiful quality in the person of Christ. But let me just take a moment right here and just take one aspect of his faithfulness, his dependability, and his reliability, and his trustworthiness, and his integrity. And that's when he went to the cross. John 13 and verse 1 says, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them to the end, all the way to the end. His faithfulness to go to the cross. And the jeering people that he was dying for, saying, if you're God, come off of that cross. But his faithfulness to love you and I, to be able to take our sins away, he had to stay on the cross. And so in that moment of need in his life, he was faithful to the end. Paul couldn't get over this. He said in Philippians 2:8, obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. Revelation 1 and verse 5 said, no wonder he's the faithful and true witness. And so I would just say, as we talk about faithfulness being a fruit, something that comes out of your life, it's all going to start by trusting in the faithfulness and the finished work of Christ on the cross. If you don't know him as Lord and Savior, then like all these other attributes, you can do a rah-rah session in the corner. You can get pom-poms. You can get cheerleaders. You can drink 5 energy drinks, and you can yell faithfulness as hard as you want to yell. You will not be a faithful person, amen? But if you trust Christ as Lord and Savior, then over a period of time, you're going to look back and you might even hear somebody say, man, thank you for your faithfulness. Have you trusted in the finished work of Christ on the cross? If you haven't, this will never be an attribute that leads in your life. Sins forgiven, eternal life given, Holy Spirit indwells. Note number 3. Faithfulness is produced by the, and I want you to notice the word that I use here this morning, the initiative of God's Spirit. The initiative of God's Spirit. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. We're talking about things that God himself produces out of our life. We're the branches. Jesus is the vine. Listen to what Jesus says in John 15 and verse 5. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is who will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do how much? Zippo, nothing. Now, this may be so elementary, but this is the thought in all of the fruit of the Spirit that's produced by the Spirit of God. Well, just think with me, and again, maybe we had the grandkids this weekend, so maybe I'm thinking too simple here. An apple tree does not stand out in the middle of an orchard and say, oh my goodness, it's spring. I've got to produce apples. How do I produce apples? Hey, could anybody help me? Are there any other apple trees that can help me produce apples? I forgot how to produce apples. No, an apple tree produces apples because that is what an apple tree does, right? It produces apples. And the fruit of the Spirit is the outflow of these uncommon characteristics that can be a reality in our life because this is what the Spirit of God does. That's why you could take these and pin them up, not just to memorize them, but to use them as a litmus test. Is this characteristic being produced in some measure out of my life? Is there any noticeable trace of this in my life? Has trusting Christ changed me or transformed me in any possible way whatsoever? Now, the greatest way to show the initiative of God and the Spirit in faithfulness is to take you back to the couple of verses that God radically used to save me, to transform me, to see my need for a Savior. This weekend I had the grandsons and grandkids, and so yesterday morning I took them out, and I was going to go down to the shooting range, the bow range, and down by the dam at Sailorville, and they got a real nice range down there. And I was driving across, and I said to my grandsons, hey, has Grandpa ever showed you the place where I surrendered my life to Christ? And they said, no. And so I went to the exact spot right on top of the dam, the first little pullover, and I stopped right there, and I said, let's get out of the car. It was within 5 feet of right here that your grandpa was kneeling down, and I gave my life to Christ right here. And they were like, oh, that is so cool, Grandpa. I was like, yeah, it's cool. But it was these verses. And I just want you to notice this, how it's the initiative of God to even have the faith to believe. And so you don't have to take 8 semesters of Greek in seminary, but I want you to see this, and I want you to understand what this verse says, because this hits the nail on the head. For by the grace of God, you have been saved, rescued through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. It's not a result of works, so that no one would boast. And you can study it out for yourself, or you could take my word for it. The gift of God in this verse is directly related to faith. You were given in a moment of time the faith to believe. Grandpa did not all of a sudden get smart as he was driving across there. The Holy Spirit of God did a work in my life, and he gave me the ability to see Christ and to trust in Christ. It is the initiative of the Holy Spirit, and that's the way it's going to be in faithfulness. point note number four, and the words are chosen specifically right here. Faithfulness is cultivated then with the cooperation of God's people. The Spirit, if you know Christ, is taking the initiative in your life. He's wanting to produce this out of your life, but you can't continue to stiff-arm God. You can't continue to say it's no big deal. You can't continue to grieve the Holy Spirit. You got to stop quenching the Spirit. You got to cooperate with the Spirit of God. It's not rocket science here, really. Now, let me give you a couple verses. This is just meant to prime the pump here a little bit. And then I have one more verse to show you under this. Proverbs 3:3, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them, steadfast love, around your neck. This is something we're required to do if we know Christ. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Have it be something that's real inside. And then you put a remembrance on your outside that he is faithful and you were called to be faithful and God requires you to be faithful. He wants you to be faithful. It's going to be the quality that the world needs to see because you're going to stand out. And so do something. But even more direct for me this week was Psalm 37 and verse 3. Read this verse with me and allow me just to spend a moment on the phrase that I have highlighted and bolded and underlined. So read the verse with me. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Befriend faithfulness. What in the world is the psalmist talking about when he says, befriend faithfulness? And lo and behold, when I did a word study on the word befriend, lo and behold, it's the word for shepherd. It's the title for God and for Moses and for pastors. And it literally means to shepherd, to feed, to cultivate, to develop. Trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, right where you're at, feed faithfulness. Be intentional with your life. Develop it. Cultivate it. God's saying, I've given you all the tools. You can actually do this, like feed it in your life. And there's two ways that I think as we get practical, as we close this up, there's two ways that we can simply do this. Let me give them to you. You can review where you are right now. Psalm 37 and verse 3 said that we should befriend faithfulness, we should dwell in the land. And what I take the psalmist to mean is right where you're located, right where you currently reside. We have a missionary from Peru here. I just met him, Steve. You need to meet him before he goes. And it's a great work, and he's over in Peru, and I can't wait. Hopefully I'll get over there this next year and see what God's doing over there. But the psalmist is saying, no, right where you dwell, befriend faithfulness. So review where you are. Don't think about being faithful when I get to the foreign land. Don't be thinking about I'll be faithful when I retire. I'll be faithful when I find that perfect wife, when my kids are out of the house. No, it's right where you're at right now. And then the second way, and there could be a whole list here, is one of the other ways that you would befriend faithfulness, cultivate it, is recall who God is. He's faithful to you, amen? Like, so he wants you to be intentional about this. And so I stole a very simple outline from Adrian Rogers, and I was trying to think about, okay, how do I make this practical? And I read up on what he had to say about this, and so this short little outline really fit me. So think about faithfulness right where you're at, where you currently reside, at the age that you are, in the family situation you are, where you're at in your profession, where you're at in life. Right now, your time, your talent, your treasures, the family that are around you, whether that's good or bad, the friends that are around you, your finances, responsibilities, commitments, vows you've made. By the way, the definition, again, is one who is dependable, trustworthy, loyal, who can be depended upon in all his or her relationships right here, right now, and one who is absolutely honest and ethical in all their dealings. So right here, right now, predictable, consistent, honest, sincere, reliable, dependable, loyal, one of integrity. What you say and what you do match. The private and the public person match. What you believe and how you behave match. What you promise and how you perform match. Psalm 15, and I think it's verse 4, somewhere in Psalm 15 says, you keep your word even if it hurts you to keep your word. I'll give a simple illustration of that here in just a second. So here's this simple little outline, just a couple of minutes as we close. So review where you are in the small things. Now, when I talk about small, I don't mean unimportant. I could say in the ordinary things, in the day-to-day things. So big things make up small things, right? I mean, that's a principle of Scripture. So like if I just took time, for instance, there are ages that are made up of millenniums. Millenniums are made up of centuries. Centuries made up of decades. Decades made up of years. Years made up of months. Months made up of weeks. Weeks made up of days. Days made up of hours. Hours made up of minutes. Minutes made up of seconds. And so God is constantly telling us to be faithful in the small things, the everyday things, the things that are just all around us right now. You don't have to look outside to be faithful. It's like, no, everything you are, all the people around you, all the promises you've made, all the commitments you have, everything that God has blessed you with, right where you're dwelling in the land, faithfulness. Now, just look at Luke 16, verses 10 and 11. And there's going to be an illustration about money here. And I just want you to know, this is Jesus's illustration. Verse 11, I didn't insert in here. But this is one of the classic passages. And Jesus says, well, really, if you want to check somebody on their faithfulness, you know, you could find out about what they do with the treasure that they've been given. But look what Jesus says. Very familiar verses. One who is faithful in a very little is also going to be faithful in much. One who is dishonest in very little is going to be dishonest in much. So what you are in the ordinary, you're going to be in the extraordinary. And then he uses this illustration to prove it. If then you have not been faithful in unrighteous wealth, just money, just possessions, these common blessings, whether you're a follower of Christ or you're not, who will entrust you with true riches? So I want you to notice what he's saying in verse 11 there. He's not going to say, as you grow spiritually, then I want you to be faithful with your money. That's how we would normally interpret it. No, what he's saying is, as you're using the resources, time, talent, treasure for the Lord, God will entrust to you spiritual riches. So you don't wait to get spiritual. You like, okay, what do I have that God wants me to use for him? Turns out that faithfulness in small things is a big thing to God. Now, let me give you a couple of examples from being a grandpa this weekend. So we had 5 grandkids stay overnight, and we love to have them overnight. And either they're getting more energetic, or I'm getting less energetic, or both of those things are happening at the same time. And so we didn't have a bed for all 5 of those. My mother-in-law is with us, and let me go on record say I'm very thankful for that. Praise the Lord, amen. And 5 kids. So we had a couple of them got to sleep on couches. And so one of the younger ones is going to sleep on a couch downstairs, but he made grandma promise him that the bathroom light would stay on. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you're an adult with the bathroom light on. I don't know. It's okay. And lo and behold, in the middle of the night, our electricity goes off. I mean, it was crazy. And we're right up above where the one grandson is sleeping right down below us. And I can hear some words. Deb is a better grandma than I am a grandpa. She gets out of bed, find out what's going on down there. And my young grandson is very angry because grandma promised him the bathroom light would be on. The bathroom light went off, and he thought that she had broken her promise. Like, that was a promise. And then So I got the grandsons, take them to a movie on Friday night. We were going to go to the Ballard North Polk game. I'm glad I didn't go to there. That was 7-6 score there. I was going to go that. Went to this car movie. That was really good. In the morning, going to take them with me. We're going all over the place. The fall festival's down there. Take them down there. My grandson wants to paint a pumpkin. Well, okay, Grandpa, it's $3 for the pumpkin. They got all these pumpkins out there. I give him a $10 bill, and there's no change left because the $3 pumpkin was about a 5-inch pumpkin. He wanted to paint the biggest pumpkin they had there that we could barely. So all $10 are gone there. So I'm doing all that thing. Parents are finally going to come pick the kids up at 4:00. I'm like, and my grandson says at 5 to 4, Grandpa, you promised that we'd play catch with the football. And I wanted to say, son, we have not stopped since you got here. But then I have all the times I've got to study faithfulness in the small things. Have you ever heard, but you promised? To a grandson, that's a big deal. So what are we going to do? We're going to tromp out there and throw the football, which I enjoy anyways. Faithfulness in the small things is a big thing to God. Past my time, let me give you a couple more, and let's let the Spirit of God marinate them into your heart. Review where you are in the secret things. God sees, but as far as you know, nobody else sees those areas. Whether you're staying somewhere and nobody's with you, or, you know, these secret things that nobody else would know. Because integrity, faithfulness, matters to God in the secret things. Maybe there's a sin that comes up when you think about that in this. Certainly sexual sin loves secrecy. I don't need an amen for that. And then review where you are in the sacred things. This is Adrian Rogers' little outline, and it really hit home with me. So I was thinking, well, sacred things. Well, what would some of those be? Well, how many here, just by raise of hand, and I need to really in this, but how many by raise of hand have ever dedicated a child either here or somewhere? Just raise your hand. Okay, a number of you. Well, a sacred thing would be as a parent, you're standing up here with your child and you dedicate them to the Lord. If you do that at Lakeside, you make a couple of commitments. I'm just reminding you of being faithful in the sacred things. So here's the commitment you made with your children. You'll bring your children up to fear the Lord, and you'll instruct them in the Lord. Like you as parents, not pawn it off to the youth pastor, which he's going to love to do that, and they're good. The whole team is going to love to do that. But you said that you would do that. Early in your childhood, you would seek to see them trust Christ as Lord and Savior. You would lead them to see the beauty of Christ. That's what you made a commitment for. You would set before them a consistent example of godliness. That if you were at Lakeside and you raised your hand, that's what you would have committed to. So God said, I just want you to remind you to be faithful in that. If you became a member of Lakeside, you'd have made some simple but profound commitments. You would have said, well, I'm going to attend regularly. We don't take attendance. I'll give generously and financially to the needs of the ministry. I don't want to know what you give. We have a treasure. Praise the Lord for that. You would reliably serve. And number four, you would commit to build unity in the church. Those are the four commitments. So faithfulness in the sacred things would be, okay, what kind of commitments did you know? Like when you trusted Christ, you gave a testimony. When you got baptized before the Lord, you said, I'm going public for Christ. Have you followed through with the public beautiful witness of knowing Christ? And then I'll just close, you know, recall who God is. So this is not a guilt. This isn't, okay, Dave guilted me into, oh man, I gotta, no. This is the Spirit of God wanting to work this out. Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us our sins when we confess them. Praise the Lord for that, amen. This is what Pastor Dave wants to be. This is what I want people to say about. This is like, when I say I want to live my life as a thank you back to God, the way that a person does that is they use their life to bring beauty to the name of Christ, and they love the lost by living the life Christ would live in front of them. Do you see what I'm saying? So part of saying, I want to live my life as a thank you back to God means you're faithful even when it's not easy, even when it's difficult, even when your flesh wants to go the other direction, you are going to be faithful. Who here doesn't want, when they stand before the Lord, and everyone in this room will, who doesn't want to hear, well done thou what? Good and faithful servant. I do. The Spirit of God's trying to work it out in you. Christ is the display of that. God the Father is the character of that. It is required of a steward that they be found faithful. Let me pray. Father, I will admit that even in small, simple things like with grandchildren, most likely, if I wouldn't have been meditating on faithfulness all week, I would have told my grandson in the tiredness, son, we've done a lot of things and we'll have to do the play football next time. But you care about my little grandson. And you want me to be a witness to your faithfulness. You want my word to matter. It's only right, Lord, that you would ask me to live a life of integrity back to show this rare quality to a lost world who very rarely bumps into anything like this. Father, if there's one, certainly there are, many probably are, who don't know you as Lord and Savior, then Lord, help them to see that this is not going to be a genuine, authentic, deeply ingrained quality of their life unless they see you as the faithful one who finished the work given to him, your son on the cross, and he was faithful to the end. Help them to see Jesus. Help them to see you, Father. Father, I thank you for your gentleness and your mercy in forgiving our waywardness, my waywardness. Lord, we want you to be glorified. Thank you for your faithfulness in all the areas that your scripture tells us about you and we've learned from experience. Lord, do a work in our lives in Christ's precious name. Amen.